No, I did that once. There was someone called Bo at my school, and I was like, "Oh, what's? Come on, what's your real name?" And he's like, "Oh, it's Bo."
There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
It's not short for anything.
No, it's not.
B-O.
Simmy.
There you go.
Easy man.
That's your name.
Yeah. All right, how are we doing tonight?
I'm
We good?
stressed, so this is
You really? What are you stressed about? Starting a new
Seeing
job?
you as a trainer.
Really?
No. Oh, yeah.
What have you been doing? You've been like doing tradie stuff or?
Yeah, I was doing work in the country for a bit. I was doing removalism for a bit.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it.
Didn't like removing things.
I mean, for the first couple of weeks it was good, and then it just like, I don't know, I wasn't enjoying it, so.
It's not something you can really love,
yeah,
is it?
exactly. I'm
Removing
not passionate
people's
about moving
things. You better not hit my wall on the way out. And
things.
he's like, okay, sure. At
So,
least you're good at moving house now, right?
that's right.
Yeah.
Life skills.
Exactly. It's like I used to work at Coles in Woolworths in the deli and weighing up chicken breasts and ham and shit. I'm like, this is a pointless skill.
Yeah,
And
bro.
now I'm like meal prepping 200 grams, done.
Yeah.
200, 300 grams. Out for dinner, you're like, that's 200, that's 40 grams of protein.
Yeah, see, there you
It's life skills.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It happens for a reason.
Yeah.
We're
How's
all
your
going to be
stress?
different in the future.
That's a pretty
You feel good?
Yeah, after the
Yeah.
PT session. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Great PT session. Yeah. Nice. How's your day been?
Yeah, pretty chilled.
Not too stressed with the new training program and diet. Feeling good? Feeling good? How's your, I mean, we just pretend we haven't spoken already. Oh, how's your day been?
It's been
good.
Been good. Busy as usual, but yeah.
Good. Busy is good. Yeah.
Busy's good.
Yeah.
Work well.
Yeah. So the general adaptation syndrome, right? Let's get into it. So you have three phases: your alarm, your resistance, and your exhaustion. So say you start a new job and you're not used to it being busy. Your body will be like, oh, okay, we're in an alarm phase. And you keep doing that job and it stays that same sort of busy, you're going to get used to it. We've all sort of got used to that, like a new workload, uni, school, whatever it is, we get used to it. But sometimes we spend too much time in the alarm phase and we fall down here. We don't get enough resistance from it and we fall into the exhaustion phase. So the guy who came up with this general adaptation syndrome, his name's called Hans Selye, and he was an endocrinologist, so he studied hormones back in the 1950s. And he was doing experiments on rats, and he found that the rats at the end of the study would get stomach ulcers, and it wasn't from the medication or whatever he was injecting them with. He later found out that because he was so clumsy and he would drop the rats and have to chase after the rats on the ground, that it was stress that was causing them to get these ulcers. So he was like, wow, this is crazy. And he looked into it, and that's how he came up with the general adaptation syndrome. You want to impose a stress that you're able to recover from, but you can't push too hard, otherwise you can't recover from it. So that's pretty much how training works. We progressive overload. You squat 20 kilos, next week you do 25 kilos, and you keep getting stronger. So we'll go into the different systems of the body and how that general adaptation syndrome and that stress affects these different systems. So your cardiovascular system, your heart, your blood, or your arteries. Cardio, everyone hates it. It's actually really good. So the cardiovascular system will, once you go into the alarm phase, if you imagine you're watering a garden, you have the tap's only a little bit on and it's a floppy hose, and you're trying to water the garden, it's not going to do much. Whereas if you crank the handle up and you get a thicker hose, you're going to be able to water the whole garden from one spot. That's pretty much what happens with your arteries once these stress hormones are being flushed into your body. The arteries stiffen up so they can flush more blood and nutrients throughout the body, and stress hormones be like, shit, we need to calm down from the stress. So cholesterol is involved in that. It's in our blood, and it's often been demonized by people with eggs. Eggs are bad, eggs are good. Don't have too much cholesterol. You need more cholesterol. But cholesterol basically, does anyone know what cholesterol is?
Does it clog your arteries?
It does. Yeah. So, sort of does. Yeah. Well, yeah. It does. We'll get into that later. Yeah, atherosclerosis. We'll get into that. Yeah. but it's a lipid or a fat molecule. So, you know, it goes in and repairs arteries. So it can clog them, but it repairs the arteries. And important for things like your cell membranes, production of steroid hormones, and it's a precursor for other hormones and vitamin D especially. So if you're not getting enough sun and you're not eating enough cholesterol, no vitamin D, your bones, no good. So without cholesterol, your body's not going to produce all these hormones. So if you get someone with blood work and their cholesterol is low, they might have low hormones as well. Okay. Yeah. And what will happen if you don't have enough cholesterol? Well, I'm glad you asked. The liver will be like, hey, what are you doing? Where's all my cholesterol? And the liver will just synthesize it itself, which puts a stress on the body. So your body's very smart. It always finds a little backdoor way to make more of what it needs. Has anyone heard of pregnenolone steel? That's a fancy word. It pretty much means, I'll explain. So cholesterol creates pregnenolone. Pregnenolone converts everything, all your other hormones, into sex hormones mostly. And what happens is, if you're stressed, your body's going to convert the pregnenolone straight into cortisol instead of other sex hormones. So you go cholesterol, pregnenolone, sex hormones. That's what would normally happen. You have a healthy sex hormones. If you're stressed and your body needs cortisol, it's going to go cholesterol, pregnenolone, cortisol. So no sex hormones for you. No good Saturday nights for you. I don't have any of those anyway. But So, and it also gives you poor digestion. It can affect your digestion. Atherosclerosis, to answer your question. I was trying to come up with a fancy analogy for this and what atherosclerosis is. It's, you know, the clogging of the arteries. They build up, and when blood can't flow through, you stroke out and you die. So it's not good. If you imagine a big highway, and it's transporting a lot of people. The people and the cars are cholesterol, right? So it's transporting all three. Everything's good. But one day there's a crash. Like just out here today, there was a big crash with a fire truck and bad, right? And they had to close off one lane to repair and get everything back to normal. So if you imagine on this big road, there's been a crash and they're repairing one lane and everything slows down, right? Everything's slowing down. So that's what's happening to your artery. The stress hormones are being pushed through your arteries so fast that it's tearing up the walls and creating sort of damage that needs to be reconstructed. The road's closed down. It takes longer to get through. Oh my God, there's another crash. Someone was texting and driving. There's another crash. Now there's only two lanes left. Now no one can get through. And then when you get the bad atherosclerosis that's going to kill you is when all the lanes are closed and no one can get through. And then no blood flow, you're dead. All right. Biomarkers, right? So that's just ways to test for your cardiovascular system is an elevated heart rate. So your heart rate will be elevated if to pump blood out faster to all your fingers and your periphery, your muscles, everything. And so the higher the heart rate, sort of, not good. You want below 70 is good. Below 60 is optimal. Do you know your...
Resting
heart rate. Yeah. You wouldn't like a workout below 60, but... Yeah. First thing in the morning. Yeah. Really good. Blood pressure. So 120 over 80. It can be a bit more than that. As long as it's sort of in a healthy-ish range. not too high, not too low. You don't just want to check it in the morning. You want to check it sort of a couple times throughout the day. Even, I know they used to have the blood pressure monitors in supermarkets. Has anyone seen those?
Yeah.
So if someone doesn't want to buy a blood pressure thing, you just, when you do your shopping, chuck it on, see what it is, and then you can write it down. Yeah, the chemist too. Yeah, so you see what it is. Elevated cholesterol, right? So this can be an indicator for sympathetic dominance, so high stress if elevated cholesterol. Poor body temperature regulation. So this is a big one because we kind of live in Australia where it's kind of warm. If you're always cold, your fingers and toes are cold, your body has a poor ability to get the blood out to the fingers and toes. Now, why would that be? It's because your brain wants the blood for itself. Your body needs blood to go to the brain to outthink its way for survival. So instead of sending blood out to have warmer fingers and toes, it's going to keep it closer to the brain because we're stressed out and we're like, we might be in danger. We need our brain to outthink our way of survival. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so many people have cold extremities. Even sometimes I get it. I'm like, oh my God, my thyroid's not working properly. yeah, fancy. Yeah, your brain always needs glucose and nutrients. It's our control center for how we get ourselves out of those stressful situations. Brain is good. Body's always going to try and protect the brain, preserve it. Okay, let's go on to the muscular system. I've got another fancy phrase for you. Biochemical energy creating kinetic energy. All right, so that just means we eat food, that's turned into energy, and then that energy turns into movement, motion. All right, so there's a lot more functions to the muscular system besides just creating movement. One of the biggest things is our muscular system is a big energy store, so it's like a battery. Right? We keep glycogen in our muscle cells. So when people do weight training, it helps with their insulin sensitivity because they have more glycogen storage. That might have gone, maybe I'm getting too fancy. But like, you eat carbs and they're stored in your muscle. And in an ideal situation, we're going to keep the glycogen in our muscle for as long as we can. In a bad situation, we just let the glycogen out of the muscle, and that's no good because then we have no energy. All these people that can't do workouts and they're really, really fatigued. So when the body's working efficiently, the muscle is going to be a spoiled brat and doesn't want to give up the glycogen, right? It doesn't want to give it to your brain, your liver, nothing. That's really important. So the muscles like to keep the glycogen because if you have a stressor that you encounter, you need immediate energy to get away from that stressor and get the fuel. And if we don't have the fuel available, it will put a big stress on the rest of our system and create a big burden if we don't have those energy reserves in a muscle. Right? The body always wants to get out of dangerous situations. So a good example of this is someone on a ketogenic diet, so no carbs, and they do a lot of exercise. Now what happens is they do this because they think to be healthy or lose weight, they want to eat less and do more, where they're kind of just digging themselves into a bigger hole because they don't have the recovery in place, they don't have the food, and they don't have the energy to fuel the training either. So, you will fatigue very quickly if you don't have carbs and you're doing a lot of weight training. Metabolic system. How is the muscular system? That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, glycogen. Carbs. Yeah.
Very low amounts of glycogen in
the muscles. Yes. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's why it's called the keto diet, because your body produces ketones for energy instead of glycogen. Glycogen goes straight from the muscle. So it's a faster process to get energy if you're getting glycogen. Ketones are produced in your liver, I think. And so it has to go liver to the muscle instead of muscle, bang. So it takes longer.
That's something to do with ketosis as well.
Yeah. So when you're in ketosis, you're using ketones for energy.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, which is, ketones are technically fat.
Yeah.
Maybe they go liver into fat into energy, something like that.
Yeah.
But you're basically using fat. But because we're using fat doesn't mean we're burning fat, because we're also eating a lot of fat as well. Mm. So
it's just used as an energy source.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, good question.
Oh, thank you.
So the metabolic system, and how does stress hormones affect your metabolic system, right? So how do we create energy? By storing free fatty acids in our fat cells, storing glycogen in our muscle, our brain, our liver, and we store protein in the muscle. Hence why we need protein to build muscle. To free up that energy to use it, use free fatty acids to create ATP, which is energy, release glycogen from our tissue, and sometimes even break down protein from our muscle. So, you know, people like marathon runners are really skinny because they've been running for so long, they've depleted all their glycogen stores, so they're actually using their muscle for energy. They're breaking it down. So short-term stress, really good thing. You have a really badass training session that you've recovered from, and you create enough insulin sensitivity. You can open the door to lower your glycogen after you've worked out, get your energy levels back to normal, and get all your nutrients to all your muscles, which is good. Long-term stress is going to increase the blood glucose and the fats circulating around your body, and the glycogen, the energy can't go back to normal. What happens then is your body can't get the energy back down into the muscles. So it's like, shit, we're at an energy deficit because we're so stressed. It goes into fat tissue. That's why you get fatter. All right. So we've all had, I don't know, trainers in the room. You get like a big overweight client. They come in, you smash them with like, you're like, yeah, I'm going to smash them. This is going to be so, I'm going to burn them. Like, we're going to have an awesome training session. So they're sticking to their diet. They're eating sort of low calories. They're training really hard, but they get fatter, right? Like, what's going on? So if you have your muscle here, your muscle is holding the glycogen, the energy. You work out, but, oh, hey, we're healthy body. Like, let's release that energy for more energy. That door is still open. So if we're working out, we've opened the door, we release energy, we've finished the workout, our stress hormones are still really high. There's a lot of blood and nutrients circulating around our body. We're finished, we're de-stressed, we cool down. That door's still open, we come back in and we get more nutrients and we get a bigger muscle. If you're chronically stressed, you're not going to have enough glycogen in the muscle to start with. So you're not going to want to release it because, oh my God, we're about to die. We're so stressed out, chronically stressed, no sleep, bad food, doesn't want to open. If it doesn't open, we can't get stress hormones back down and back into the muscle. So where do they go? Because we know we're at an energy deficit. Can't go back into the muscle. We need more energy because we're chronically stressed. Where is that? All those nutrients, all that blood, going to go. The fat tissue. So not to the muscle, to the fat tissue, because we're chronically at an energy deficit. So our body's like, shit, we need energy. Like, what's going on? We're just training really hard. Like, there's a herd of bears trying to kill us. It's going to be like, okay, boom, fat storage, energy. Exactly. Yeah. Do we all have rest days? Yeah. Very nice. Okay, so, oh my God, that sounds crazy. How do I get my body better at adapting to all of these things, this metabolic system? Well, you can do cardio. Now, if you want to go crazy about it, and I did this for 4 days in a row, 90 minutes of cardio. You can go up to 2 weeks of doing 90 minutes a day of cardio to and really boost up, like lower your heart rate, increase your HRV, decrease blood pressure, help your cholesterol levels, all the things to help.
What if you're trying to lose weight? Yeah.
So, well, if you're trying to lose weight, then...
Then you're fucked.
Yeah, you want to do, like, the strength training as well. But the adaptations you get from the 90 minutes a day for 2 weeks, you'll keep just by doing 20 minutes a week. Now, I don't think I've ever met someone who would want to do 2 weeks of 90 minutes of cardio day. I mean, I would probably do it for 2 weeks, but I'd waste away all my muscle. But an easy way to do it is just 3 times a week, 30 minutes. Do that for like a month, and you'll get those the same adaptations. And then once you get them, it'd be easy to keep them going. So cardio will get your stress hormones down. Thanks for coming. Cardio will get your stress hormones down, improves blood flow, improves lymphatic flow. So that's your sewage removal, waste removal system. It reduces inflammation because it's not damaging in any nature, and it improves oxygen supply all around your body. So really good cardio, even for like building muscle, just to keep you healthy, and it gives you a better stress response. So,
you get those same adaptations.
Yeah.
If you're doing like HIIT, or does it need to be like lower heart rate?
Yeah.
Longer.
Yeah, list sort of cardio.
Okay.
Yeah. So with
So HIIT would give you different adaptations.
Yeah. So HIIT is more stressful on the liver because the liver has to produce other things to sort of get your glucose at a good level. So if you're, it's like a big alarm to do that HIIT because it's high intensity. That's the name of it, high intensity. It's a bigger stress to recover from. So your body has to just do a lot more processes to sort of deal with it. More construction workers to deal with the situation. But you can actually keep the adaptations. After you do a month of the, 3 times a week, 30 minutes, you can do a HIIT training session once a week and keep those same adaptations.
Yeah.
Or if you're not too stressed out and you like doing HIIT training, then that's fine. It's like your sleep's good, you're eating carbs and yeah. Any other questions? Yeah, because you didn't have energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
See, I love doing HIIT because I feel so good after.
Like, yeah.
I guess that's, but sometimes if I'm not eating enough or if I'm not sleeping enough, I feel like awful.
Yeah.
After doing it.
Yeah.
I just need to remember, like, if I feel really shit like the next day, I'm really low on energy. I must be like, I just think back to like how much I ate, how many hours of sleep I had, like 2 months prior to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's just trial and error sort of thing.
Yeah. And that's why tracking, last week I was talking about sort of tracking it and tracking your heart rate, tracking your HRV, all these things to be like, okay, my heart rate's really high today. Maybe I won't go for that PR. Maybe I won't do HIIT training. Maybe I'll do my steady state cardio instead. And you can adjust. And a lot of athletes are using that now. And there's lots of apps too. I really want to get this ring that tracks your sleep and gives you... Have you heard of the Oura Ring?
No.
And it gives you like a score, and it's like, you need to sleep longer, you need to like do this, and like, it's like so cool. It's like $400, but yeah.
Because I was seeing Monday night, I had a really super stressful day.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, I'm going to do up here and get rid of it.
Yeah. You were out?
I was so exhausted. I nearly felt sick, but I felt exhausted. Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I was stressed all day.
Yeah. And that's using a lot of energy.
Yeah. And then doing that.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to like a psychologist about it. He said one stressful thought causes 90 minutes of like raised cortisol.
Oh, wow.
Like,
hypercortisol. Oh my god.
If you're like having like a real bad, stressful day. Like,
oh no.
Yeah. So that puts it into So.
Well, I'm not sleeping tonight.
Yeah,
I heard it. Yeah.
Because I don't know if those numbers, like, don't quote me on that. It's like, yeah, something.
It'll be my next Instagram post.
Yeah.
I think we've all had that situation where we're in the shower or driving somewhere and we're just like, oh my God, I need to do this. Oh my God, I need to do this. Oh my God, what if I don't forget to do this? And I heard someone say you should schedule in your stress, which sounds so weird. But if I know, oh my God, I have a session tomorrow that I haven't planned for and I need to, it's like, hey, nothing you can do about it now. You're in the middle of a seminar. When you wake up tomorrow, plan it out and do it then. And then you're like, oh wow, I can stop stressing about it because I know tomorrow I'm going to deal with it. Which I found really, like, wow. I haven't really put it into full effect, but I like the idea of scheduling and planning things. All right, the gonadal system. So your sex hormones, your fertility and libido. So you would think when stress hormones hit your gonadal system, you would get excited, but you actually lose your libido. It's gone. You don't get horny at all. And the stress hormones counteract the sex hormones that you have. And so what do sex hormones do apart from make you horny? They're testosterone builds muscle, estrogen builds your bones, and progesterone will help make the eggs for girls. And for guys, it helps develop a bit more testosterone. So basically when you're stressed, instead of your body sensing that you have sex hormones and that there's sex hormones circulating around your body that aren't being used, they turn into cortisol. So say we have that door sort of analogy again. If you're really stressed out, then the door for the sex hormones isn't going to be open. They're just going to keep circulating around. The body's like, I don't know if we're on red alert. I don't know if we have sex hormones. I'm not looking for sex hormones. I'm just see stress hormones everywhere. I'm going to keep the door closed. And then eventually, if the sex hormones are circulating around long enough and they haven't been let in the door, then they get turned into cortisol. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is cortisol, like, in terms of energy?
Yeah.
Does that suck the energy? Like, does it use energy to produce, like, when the body produces cortisol?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a big process of your body, and if you're producing a lot of, it gets back to that sympathetic dominance situation where if you're always stressed out and always producing cortisol, you're not producing other things like these sex hormones. So not that it uses a lot of energy, it just uses energy to create cortisol, which creates an imbalance, which makes it harder for your body to use energy efficiently. Because you don't, like, imagine if you had, I don't know if there exists a car that uses like petrol and diesel, but if you needed like 50-50 and all you had was like 90% petrol, then like it wouldn't be running efficiently. That's like when you have high cortisol. You're just not running efficiently and you're really stressed out all the time and you're not creating all these other things. So out of all the sex hormones that are circulating around, progesterone is usually the first one to go. So that's why a lot of people struggle to get pregnant now, is just because if they're stressed out, the progesterone that makes the eggs is the first candidate to go to the bin, go to cortisol. So the biomarkers for your gonadal system. Ask about, like, how's your libido? Do you have sexual interest? Do you want to have sex or not? I had a joke when I learned about this. And if I was asked, I was talking to a client for the first time, and I'll be like, how's your libido? Okay, yeah. Do you have like sexual interests? Do you want to have sex? Oh, no, not with me. No. I mean, So yeah, you'd have to work your way up to a client asking them that. Yeah. Do they have low testosterone or low androgens? That would be from a blood test. Fertility issues, loss of period. Estrogen dominance, really big one. Do they have a lot of body fat on their lower half? And then the top half kind of seems normal. We've all seen those people walk around like big butts and like their upper body like looks normal. That's a lot of estrogen. Yeah. The thyroid. So this is the last one. So the thyroid makes, does anyone know what the thyroid does? Like what they think it does or? So usually thyroid is for your heart rate, your metabolism, and body temperature, right? That's what it's kind of known for, but it actually does a lot of things. It grows your hair, skin, nails, helps with digestion, controls transit time for your bowel movements, which is really important. And the transit time is important because if you're taking a long time to get the sort of toxins out of you, it's giving time for your bacteria in your colon to sort of spread and grow and create a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, so SIBO, right? So you get a lot of bacteria in your gut, fermentation, farting, which makes the constipation worse. It's no good. On the other side, if it's going too quickly, like you're shitting 5 times a day, then you're not soaking up any nutrients, which is not good either, because then we can't build muscle, you know, stimulate all the other processes that the body needs. So yeah, thyroid regulates body temperature. That's another big one that can involve that cold fingers, cold hands. Might be
it.
Yeah. Might be thyroid. Do you have a, well, yeah, you have a boyfriend. That's fine. It's probably not too bad. Some people just have cold.
It's just in my family.
Girls do have usually have colder extremities because they keep the blood closer to the heart. Because if they get pregnant, they need more blood and heat in the middle. Is that, you heard that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They shouldn't be like freezing though.
Really,
do you have thinning of the eyebrows and losing your hair?
No.
Okay, you're probably good.
And my nails are
healthy. Okay, yeah, you're probably good. Maybe.
Isn't that circulation a bit too?
Yeah.
Because if you're really cold, you know.
Yeah, maybe you didn't do cardio. Cardiovascular system, poor blood flow. Yeah.
Lately.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check next time I go to the doctor.
Yeah, 2 weeks of 90 minutes a day. That's what you need. just change your entire lifestyle. Yeah. You need 10 hours of sleep as well as with this. No. Yeah. So yeah, it's more, thyroid's more than just building muscle and losing fat. It's rebuilding everything. So people with skin issues, dandruff, hair falling out, thinning of the eyebrows for girls, nails chipping, issues with organ health, liver, kidneys, things like that, like kidney stones or liver's not working properly, you can't sleep. So why does your body stop producing these thyroid hormones? So you would get all those things if your thyroid stopped producing hormones, like the thyroid hormones like T3, T4. Well, your body doesn't care about cell turnover because it knows that it's a costly process to create new hair, skin, and nails. Your body's not looking far in the future to give you prettier looking hair. Your body just wants to keep you alive. So it's not going to use a lot of energy giving you new hair if it knows it might die because it's stressed out. And yeah, it's all about economy and efficiency of the body. So biomarkers for your thyroid, you can get more blood work done. TSH, T4, T3, reverse T3, and thyroid binding globulin. I like that word, globulin. Body temperature, right? If it's low, hypothyroidism. If it's high, hyperthyroidism. Skin dryness, flakiness, brittle nails, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that. Transit time, are you going to the toilet every day? Fatigue. We all know those people that are like really fatigued. They might be stressed out. They have no energy, and that leads to fat gain and losing muscle because we need to store the energy somewhere, and we need to get the energy maybe from our muscle that we already have. So last little phrase to leave you on is your body, your brain loves you, but it hates you as well. So your brain loves you because it wants to make you feel good with all these stress hormones in response to all these threats that you're getting. And like I said last week, we pay for stress. We go on roller coasters. We go skydiving. It's good. We love it. Your brain hates you as well because in response to dealing with that stress, it's shutting off your sex hormones and down-regulating your thyroid, giving your immune, shutting off your immune hormones, and giving you a lot of issues. So this comes back to the general adaptation syndrome. So if you're in the exhaustion phase for too long, so this down arrow, you're going to be dealing with a stressor and your body's going to run out of resources to deal with that stress. When you stay in a state of producing sex stress hormones for too long, you're also in a state of not producing sex hormones, right? Because remember that how that worked. If we're producing stress hormones, it's going to take over from our sex hormones. And not being in a state of parasympathetic dominance or activity, you're not going to be digesting the food properly. So parasympathetic is just if you're not in sympathetic and not working out all the time, things like yoga, walking, cold showers, meditating, my favorite, you won't be digesting the food properly. If you've been depleting energy for so long now, you're going to become insulin resistant. So just that, how your body gets energy from the muscle. And you've been stressed for so long, you have high blood pressure and elevated heart rate, which just equals a big shitstorm of metabolic shutdown. So stress is bad and you need to spend more time healing and recovering and being aware of all the different stresses that can come from all areas of your life. Lifestyle stresses, internal and external. What I was talking about last week was getting a hobby, finding something that you love to do, gets you in that flow state of mind. You look at the time, oh my God, it's been, 2 hours. I didn't even realize. Just sort of shuts your body off and gives you a way to not think about anything, not think about those stressful thoughts that cause cortisol. And then all your parasympathetic activities like meditation. Amazing. Yeah. Namaste. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Any, awesome.
Yeah? Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming, really. Yeah. Yeah, I like the... That's what I didn't do last week. I didn't... I think I was just too nervous. I was like trying to get through it all. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't take back, step back.
It was good. We conversated about it.
I like this better than last week. It was good.
Yeah, that's good. You're progressing.
Yeah. Dude, it's the alarm phase. I've recovered from a... From a good stimulus.
Oh, that's good. I took away a lot from that.
Yeah. Do you have any more questions?
I feel like I did have one.
With your thyroid and some of those other hormones, like they change so much as you get older too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like...
Especially testosterone. I think after the age of like 30 or it might be 40, but every year you lose 1% every year. And if you're not weight training, your muscle is just going to waste away. Even like menopause and people on birth control and things like that can all affect your hormones. That's when you get different symptoms and you have to take all these medications, and those medications cause more problems and stress on your liver, and it goes so.
So as you get older, a lot of them, things
Yeah. And when you don't have, if you get older and you're not doing weight training, you lose muscle, which make you more insulin resistant, which makes it so you can't use energy as efficiently. And then you get high blood. So diabetes is just high blood glucose all the time. You can't control it. And you take the shot for insulin to tell your body, hey, bring the glucose down. And if your glucose is always up, then you're just using a lot of energy. Yeah.
I've got questions, but I've got a session.
I'll see you around,
I'll
see you tomorrow. Yeah.
We both work here, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
All right. See you later.
Yeah. That was good.
Girls? That was good.
See you later.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Mitch.
Thank you, yeah.
Thanks, Mitch.
Cool.